Hello and welcome to the fifth Manx Footy Pod. I am delighted to say we're joined by Ireland FA under-18s management duo. That's quite a mouthful, isn't it? Lewis Qualtrough and Paul Bryson today. Plus, lurking somewhere in the background as always is Disco Dave.
As always, I'm here somewhere.
Right, so without further ado, let's get on with it. Right, welcome chaps to the fifth Manx Footy Pod. We're still going.
Well, thanks for having us, boys.
I'm disappointed we're only fifth.
Well, you know, we were scraping the barrel a bit this week, didn't
we?
We
certainly were.
Well, it's surprisingly had quite a few hits online. Like these. Have you seen this Audio Boom's counter this week?
We're up doing to? Okay. We're well over 1,000 now.
I'm sure me and Lewis will put pay to that.
Well, I have to say, after our first week, we had some critique through that said we were cheaper than a sleeping pill. So, you know, take of that what you will.
We aim to please.
So we're here today to talk about the under-18 squad, starting their sojourn in the FA County Youth Cup. So I suppose basically, what do you think your chances of progressing, boys?
I'll start if you want, Paul. Yeah, I think it's going to be a tough game coming up against Lancashire. Obviously, a big county, we're a small county. It's going to be a very tough game, but I know they've won the comp a couple of years ago as well, so they take it seriously, but we've taken it seriously as well, so we're looking forward to it. I know our lads are really excited for it, and I'm quietly confident. I don't know what about Paul is, but we'll see what happens.
We'll do our very best, that's for sure. I think we've prepared the team as best as we can. But when you compete against any county throughout the United Kingdom, you're up against it from the start, and they're selecting from a far bigger talent pool. I imagine they're selecting players who have dropped out of professional academies and professional clubs, who haven't quite made the grade, but you know, into the professional teams. I think it will be very difficult, as has been proven in the last few years, when unfortunately Isle of Man has not sort of got past the first round. But we'll give it our very best, and we've got one or two tricks up our sleeve, and I'm bringing me magic wand. I'm going to, obviously, when we go through the fairy bridge, you know, say lots of prayers, hoping to see a couple of magpies on the way down to the airport, and we'll see how it goes.
Don't need to go that far.
No, I think, Paul, you might need to talk to us more about the magic wand, because in certain circles, or if people were only half listening, I'm sure you're giving their full attention, that might sound a little bit sinister.
No, not at all.
So what is the magic wand? Is it from a Paul Daniels set, or
we're just gonna weave our magic, you know? I'm not sure how serious to take this conversation. It'll be tough. It'll be really tough, and we'll need a bit of luck, and we'll need players to really step up and perform at a level they're not used to. And let's be honest, you know, the standard on the Isle of Man isn't the same as the standard is throughout the UK. So. By its very nature, our young under-18 players are just coming into adult football, and we know it will probably be up against quite a physical, fast, hard-working team, and you know, when you add a bit of talent on top of that, it will be difficult. So yeah, I think we'll do our very best. I'm not sort of sat here doom and gloom saying we're not going to win. We're going to win, and that's what we will try to do. And myself and Lewis have done everything we possibly can to give us our best chance, and now it's up to the players when they step on the pitch to put that into action.
Yeah, it's 11v11, our lads will be alright. A couple of them have got some good experience, played in it last year, they know what to expect. Narrowly lost out to Cumberland last year. So, and there's a couple of players that are obviously in the younger bracket of the age group that haven't played in the comp, but have got some good experience playing for combination teams and first teams as well. So that's what we've tried to select, really, players that have got some good experience within adult football, because I think that's going to be key.
So what's the feeling amongst the players themselves?
They're all really excited for it. I think confidence has grown over the last sort of 8 weeks, playing different teams and picking up some good results. The last game we played like a mixed team, St Mary's, on the bowl. It was really good of them to give us a game. And unfortunately lost out 2-0, but obviously St Mary's are flying this year, doing really, really well. And they had some good big hitters playing for them. So
It's competitive, really competitive. And mm-hmm. I think it's fair to say, if you've spoken to the players from St Mary's, they knew they were in a game, and a set piece done by a corner against bigger, stronger players, and a goal on the break, but we had plenty of chances, and that was really encouraging. I think the players took quite a lot of confidence from that.
Yeah.
The shape of the team looked good. Some of the stuff that we've been trying to work on over the previous couple of months start to see happening, and that was encouraging. So that definitely has given us quite a bit of confidence before we go away.
So I was reading Dave's excellent preview on the back of the Indy. Unfortunately, it's been a delay with the boat, so you won't get that in all good and some bad news news agents till tomorrow. But he has said that you said, Louis, that it was hard to whittle the squad down. You had quite a lot to choose from this time.
Yeah, I think from the outset we wanted to pick quite a large pool of players, so it was really competitive in training for them to, and in practice games, to impress. And they've all been working really, really hard. And there were some really tough decisions to make. It came down sort of position specific and what we think might be able to impact a game coming off the bench, and cover in certain positions. But yeah, if we were to progress to the next round, which is the plan, those 26 would again be competing for that, those 16 names to travel. So that's the way we've done it. And it's gone well. It's going well.
So a lot of these guys come up through the development centre. Have you had them since they were under 11s or some?
Well, I think some of them, yes.
Yeah.
I don't think that all of them. I think some of them have come in at different stages throughout that journey. Yeah. From, some of them, yes, will have been there from the beginning. But players develop and come on at different ages and at different times. And it's fair to say that there'll be a handful of players in that group that haven't been involved in the centre from the get-go, under 11s, and others that have been. And I don't think it's the most important thing just to be picking from that current crop. You think you've got to always keep your eye on other players that come on at different times and different stages, and some of them have been involved in the trials, and some of them are involved in the 26, and some of them are involved in the 16. So that's good and that's encouraging, and we need to recognise that. That just because you've been there since a very young age doesn't give you an automatic right to be involved in the squad.
Do you think the move to Wednesdays for the Appleby 16-18 league has been a good move for the players?
Yeah, it's something I've been trying to do for a couple of years. I think it's the right move for under 18 football on the Isle of Man. Basically, idea behind it being two games in 2 days on a weekend. Mm. It's probably not the best for the players physically, but also weekend jobs, lots of school work and things like that, and coaches not having to get up with a hangover and stuff to take the...
and the coaches were
players. Yeah, both probably. Get up to take the team on a Sunday morning. And I think they've welcomed the idea of moving to Wednesday night and playing under the lights at the bowl. You couldn't have asked for anything more. So the plan is to grow that as best we can over the next couple of years, and for that under 18 football to become a midweek option long term. That's the plan. I think that'll be the right thing to do. Mm. Getting them playing on the bowl obviously regularly is only going to improve the standard of play anyway. So
I suppose we go back to one of our early points. What do you know about Lancashire apart from they've got
it's
a big
place in the northwest, just across the water.
What
quite
into big, that way?
Quite a big area.
I was going to say, what do you know about Leyland? Do you have a fact file on Leyland?
They do good pies, don't they?
Oh, I bet they do, actually.
They've got a great chicken shop down in Leyland, up in there.
A chicken shop?
Yeah. Has a queue out the door.
Just
every day.
Chicken stuff.
All sorts of chickens and meats.
You got the team bus going that way?
Probably,
pretty
much
meal.
Have a little stop off on the way.
It's worth saying that other products are available.
But do Lancashire, do they play in a county league system? I know a lot of the opposition have done that in the past, and they play each other during the league, during the season.
I'm not sure. No. Don't know.
Don't know how they select their players, or we don't get a chance to see them. The FA expenses didn't come through on that one.
I probably could have used our contacts to maybe get your Leyland advertiser. You could have had a look at their results.
Quite possibly, but no, we go into it quite blind, really, in terms of in terms of the standard or what their strengths and weaknesses will be. We'll have to kind of suss that out as the game unfolds.
But you mentioned the pitch before, though. You say it's a good...
The game's at the County FA pitch at Leyland, and it's, I think, in previous years, Bolton reserves and Man United under-23s and things have played on it and hired it for their games. It's really, really nice. It's really big. So we sort of know what to expect in that regard.
It's a nice venue.
Is it 3G or
no?
Grass.
It's a good venue. It's their County FA pitch, and but as regards to what they'll be like, it's a bit of an unknown.
That could be a good thing as well.
They'll be good, you know. But equally, they'll not know much about us. We've played all our games behind closed doors. Conscious with Periscope now and the media looking over the fence. We've not allowed anyone to watch that. We've kept those secrets very closely in camp, and so we'll look to surprise the opposition.
Social media ban ahead of the game, is there?
We haven't gone through the players' rules of code of conduct, but. Maybe that's something we need to think about, yeah. Just stopping them from running around the corridors in the hotel might be having the first starting point.
I've done senior team with that. So we got to the semi-finals of the competition in 2008. So do you think that was an anomaly, or have we just underperformed in recent years?
That's a good question. I think I'm fairly certain that since that time, most of the counties, if not all the counties, take it very seriously. I'm not saying they didn't take it seriously in 2008. I'm not suggesting for 1 minute the standard of players on the Isle of Man at this age group has gone down. I think counties take it far more seriously. In throughout the UK, and ultimately you're competing against a much higher level of higher caliber of competition. That's definitely been proven in the last 2 or 3 years when you watch the games and the level of competition you're coming up against, and you talk to managers and coaches who are looking after these players and the players themselves, and you find out that X has been released from this club and he was at that club and he was at that club, and that experience and that quality they've got as a result of being in that professional game, or albeit if they were, they're allowed to play in this competition if they're not part of a professional club. Doesn't mean to say they haven't been at some stage, and I just my personal view is that the gap is quite big, and if they take it seriously, we probably are second favourites.
That's a good thing, though. I think.
Yeah.
Everyone loves an underdog.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It'll be tough, but hey, that's football.
And we're talking about the professional club side of things. We seem to have more players going away these days for trials and clubs having a look at them.
Yep.
Are we on the scouting radar more, or have we established more links? Is this something we're looking to do?
I'd say there are more players going off recently. And there's a couple of players that are going off and training regularly at different clubs as well. So if you look at the networks that were developed through the English FA Fund and the girls programme over here, we could easily get games against Liverpool and Everton, but also send kids over for trials in the girls side of things. So different girls have been over to Blackburn and Everton. There's a young girl at Everton right now, and two girls at Manchester United, Lizzie and Ella Dixon as well. Yeah. But lad side of things, I know there's the likes of Tom Cowley went the whole way through, that approach to try and get into the pro game and didn't get there, but had, developed himself along the way really, really well.
Well, he was a skipper of Morecambe Reserves for
There are things going on. I know we've got three lads of three of this current crop who are going away with us at the weekend, who actually under 16s but have made the 16.
Right.
In Sid Batty, Joel Ibanez and Adam Long are all going on trial at Preston North End at the end of next month. So, yeah, doors are opening all the time. As it works and how it works in football is just got to be right place, right time, right coach, right link, as you well know. So, yeah, things are good.
How long do you think it'll be before we have someone breaking through as a professional?
I don't know. As I say,
a lot of things have to.
We're still talking
place.
Football. Or?
Yeah. Boom.
I mean, I don't know. It's down to luck a lot of the time. I think being in the right place at the right time. You can get trials and links, and we put the best players on the island off for different things. And it's a case of the club liking them. It's a case of the parents making that decision whether they want to travel over regularly, whether the club are happy with that, whether they're going to have to uproot. So I can't put a time scale on it, but let's hope one does happen. And as soon as one happens, in my opinion,
exactly.
Yeah.
Trailblazer.
It'll snowball.
Yeah. Right, we've had our usual gamut of Twitter questions when we told the Twitter sphere, is that what it's called, Dave?
I think so.
That you guys were coming in. Johnny Myers loves a question, doesn't he?
And he's always got good questions.
A scholar of the game as well as a decent utility player. he'll hate that. Right, so he asks, do you think the Isle of Man should have an under-21s team, so of a bridge between the under-18s and the senior setup? And I know Guernsey tried something when he was in charge a few years ago.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Is it something that you think? Or
Yeah, it's something that can be definitely looked at. I know it's been talked about in Island Rep meetings and things like that over the last sort of year or so. I know Nick and Rick Holden were looking at doing something as well. What I sort of suggested was... perhaps started off with, you know, 10 or 12 really, really good players that would be able to make that jump and be able to train regularly with the, rather than a full squad in terms of going off island and competing, because there's no competition really for that sort of age group. But if you had something that trained side by side, the senior setup, if they wanted to do that or integrate in, that's a good way of doing it, I would say. Builds their confidence really as well, rather than just coming straight into the squad.
Do you think it's a big setup, Paul, from 18s to senior?
Yeah,
massive.
Certainly, from an Isle of Man perspective, yes. But I think if you're looking nationally, even more so.
Yeah. Well, I know the Premier League clubs, the professionals, have gone to under 23 this season,
which... and I think that's good. And I think, you know, you've got to remember that I've been around a little bit now. Well, unfortunately, just a little bit too long to scrape into an under 21.
Yeah, that shows.
But it's a good job I've got the face for it.
Podcasting.
Sorry. But Lou's got himself all dolled up as well.
this is natural.
Well, no, he's really disappointed.
This is daily what I look like.
Should have seen him doing his hair and his makeup before he came. It's windy outside. What was the question again?
Do you think it's quite hard to step up?
I've been around quite a bit now in terms of my involvement in football, and I'm kind of a bit passionate about sort of development and learning and that sort of thing. And a lot of coaches label a player when they're quite young as they're going to be really good, and without knowing what that journey is going to look like over the next 10 years. And equally, if we're not careful, we can write off players too early when actually they don't fulfil their potential to much later down the line. And you know, there's examples of players who do continue to be very good players right from a young age through to an older age. But equally, there are many, many examples of players who come to the fore as their body develops, as they as emotionally, physically, socially develop, that if we were to be making judgments at 16 and 17, we'd be ruling an awful lot of players out. And then, you know, 19, 20, 21, these players all of a sudden kind of come to the forefront. So I think it's about opportunity for me. And if under 21s provides extended opportunities to provide that bridge to players that you know, if they're hitting their peak at 27, 28, then that's got to be a good thing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I've seen examples of really good young players not go on to fulfil anywhere near their potential. And likewise, I've seen examples of players who, when they were younger, you would never have thought would turn out to be the player that they are. So we have to kind of bear that in mind at different times, you know, as they're developing and growing. And I think that's maybe why the Premier League's gone to the under-23s. They're starting to recognise that they're making judgments on players too early, and the Premier League's a very competitive league, and it's about keeping them involved and giving them those opportunities, and giving them as long as they possibly can to retain them and make a judgment on them in terms of a professional career. So in answer to Johnny's question, then yeah, I think it's a sensible thing to do, but I appreciate where does it fit in the priorities of all the other football development things. So
it's another time commitment as well, because I was just going to ask you, because being an 18-year-old these days is a lot more, I perceive to be a lot more demands on your time. Like, you've got your A-levels, and to be honest, if you're a good footballer, you're probably good at other sports, and there's the opportunity.
I was, absolutely.
Handball hero, I believe.
Volleyball. Yeah, one of many.
You went to the Island Games, didn't you?
I travelled the world. you know, represent the Isle of Man on numerous occasions.
So how did you, you know, split your time? You know, was it hard?
It's good to talk about magic. You're right. I mean, it's there are a lot of demands on
keeping an Instagram account these days is a 12-hour job, isn't it? You know,
I wouldn't know.
It's one of those things they have on phones these days where they take pictures.
Right. Lewis is on it, I think. A lot of selfies. And
But you know, I mean, it's all serious. It must be quite hard for kids to say train twice a week, maybe with their club, but then throw in another session with a development centre or maybe even the under-21s as we're talking about now. So,
yeah,
and do it, as you said before, work and schoolwork as well. So, you know, do you think that means that, or maybe are people moving away from football because of that? Because they can't commit to the time, so they think, oh, I'll play hockey where I have to maybe train once a week and turn up on a Saturday, or
I just think there's more options for kids nowadays. There's different things they can get involved with, different sports they can do.
That's Paul's fault, probably, the MSI.
I was going to just
victim
in.
Of your own success.
I was going to jump in and say there's a very good reason for that, and he sat here, but
the modesty in this room.
No, we're very lucky, very very lucky on the Isle of Man that we've got unbelievable opportunities and facilities, and that's down to the Manx government and their investment in sport and recreation, and that's been brilliant. And I think I'd like to think that the benefits of that are well widely known, not just on the world and international stage, but equally on our health and well-being. And you know, we know that there are about 70% of young people involved in a community sports club, which is phenomenally you know, greater than anything throughout the UK. And that then brings with it different challenges, because of course, you know, I can give you examples of coaching young players, and that session might well be on the bowl, and you've got two or three kids almost running, arriving bang on time or a few minutes late because they've come from the swimming pool or the hockey pitch or the rugby pitch, or they've been involved in something else. And that needs managing, and that needs balancing as well, especially as players are growing and developing, their bodies are adjusting to that growth as well. And so it's, I know we're not talking, we're talking about something different now, but one good thing can create challenges and problems, you know, elsewhere. So but would I change it? No, absolutely not. I think it's great for kids to be involved in as much sport as possible and as many different sports as possible. Yes, as they get older, they'll probably have to select and choose and pick what they want to focus and concentrate on. But certainly as a young age, do as much as you can, and then, you know, hopefully you'll decide where you think you're going to be good at and stick to it.
Well, I've told this story before. You, Dave, you had a hand in shaping Mark Cavendish's cycling career.
I still say it was Papa Kinnish that.
Well, Peter Kinnish, let's not lay the credit, or should we say blame, just yours, or because Mark couldn't get any the Black Sea 14 to 16 team at that point because of Dave. So maybe that was a pathway that we could be talking about Mark Cavendish being, you know, record cap holder now instead of Nick Hurt, couldn't we? You know, it's
one door gets slammed shut, a window opens somewhere.
Exactly.
Well, that happened to be in British cycling.
It's the same with you in volleyball in many ways, wasn't it?
There was a lot of slam doors.
Yeah. Right, moving on swiftly. If you've been following our Twitter timeline this morning, we've seen lots of pictures of youth centre. I think he's playing rugby this year, isn't he, Rory?
I think so, yeah.
But again, ironically, he's injured at the moment, I believe. pictures of his various injuries. Now, this relates to you, Lewis, apparently. He claims you did a Nigel de Jong on him in one of the Derby games last week. Do you remember any of this?
I can't remember it. There was no video evidence of it, so...
There's a picture, but it's a crudely photoshopped picture.
Combination football, was it?
You know, it was the big Youth Evie Ramsey derby, mate, last season.
Surely Lewis wasn't playing first team. I was struggling to make combination team, so I'm just a bit shocked about that.
Parachuting him into air, we believe, shortly. But so you can't remember that?
No, yeah, it did happen. I can't, you know, slowing down.
Heat of battle.
Heat of battle. Good Northern derby. He's put it online a couple of times now. That's not the
It's obviously, he's obviously, it's an issue with him.
Yeah,
it is. Left a mark in more ways than one. Yeah.
Obviously, but no.
He's packed up football because... Yeah.
It sounds like it's too rough for him. He's gone to rugby
instead.
That's
a headline for me there, isn't it? Football Development Officer aids in footballers' swift retirement. we've had another tweet from, again, a slightly odd tweet from Aaron Quinn, one of your colleagues at the MSR. I believe it refers to the Class of 92 documentaries about Salford City. You know, I both know you're a big Liverpool fan, so you might not have seen
it. No, I've watched it, yeah.
I had the misfortune of watching a couple of episodes.
So, Aaron tweets, I sound like I'm on Points of View, don't I? Aaron tweets, can Lewis Qualter explain why he has been nicknamed the Isle of Man version of Salford's Gareth Seddon?
Well, can I just jump in here before...
Wait a second.
Answers the question, because the episode I seen, Gareth was spending an awful lot of time on the bench. is that the answer?
Wait. The reason he was because he had to go off and do some modelling or something like that, I think. So maybe that's what Quinny's getting.
You're digging yourself a bigger hole.
There was use of several hashtags. I don't know if any of them are trending as we speak, but there was Love Thyself, Mirrors, and Super Sub. So... Can you shed any light?
I would say no comment on any of those, but...
So did you know you were the Isle of Man's version of Salford's Gareth Seddon? Was this news to you?
I didn't. I think he's trying to stitch me up here, but... it's the same thing, really, with Quinny. I always feel, he basically gets himself involved in something, like, be it cycling,
golf.
He thinks he's the next McElroy, or he thinks he's the next Lance Armstrong, and he gets all the gear. And
I don't think he's taken any banned substances. just wanted to put that on the record. He's a very valued employee.
He's been in a band for a while as well, hasn't he? He was big into that for a bit, but pretending to be Noel Gallagher.
Jack of all trades.
Do you have your own mirror at Ballyclone?
There is actually a mirror across from where I sit. In the changing room.
Strategically placed. Yeah.
That must be a first. We've heard of benches dedicated at grounds before, but a mirror, the Lewis Qualtro mirror. Fantastic. Now, you regular podcast listeners, all three of you will know that Jay Corum came up with my favourite ever question to any podcast, to any sports journalism brief ever.
Better than what's your favourite cheese?
It's better than what's your favourite cheese. What's your favourite Chinese takeaway? Now, we've been asking people every week. We've had various answers. Alex Harrison had a top three.
Serious business.
Adam Kajin gave us two, depending on what he fancied that day. There was a duck specialist, wasn't there? So I don't want to put any pressure on you. Lewis, what's your favourite Chinese takeaway?
It's always got to keep it local. I'm going to go for Silver Star and Ramsay.
Silver Star and Ramsay? Okay. Sounds like a betting establishment. Paul, what's your favourite Chinese takeaway?
I'm not huge... takeaway fan, to be honest with you. I'm a bit of a
Your body's a temple, really.
Absolutely it is. And if I had that mirror that Lewis has got, I'd be able to see it. But I probably would go duck. I'm quite partial.
Well, where from? Maybe this is what we're trying to establish, the Isle of Man's unofficial best Chinese takeaway.
Have
you been out of the game too long? You can't give us a name.
I think...
you've been down to Chinatown a couple of times.
Yeah, I think we've got to be careful. We're not promoting one establishment over another.
Well, no one's giving us any money at this point, it's free reign. It's a commercial podcast, this.
I I don't frequent them enough, unfortunately, to...
That's a fair enough answer.
You have to first, though.
It's a first? Someone, yeah. No comment? Yeah, well, there we go. Talking of first, Disco Dave, you've had a productive morning, haven't you? Not only have you been subbing the bowls for the Courier, you've also been speaking to a former Liverpool defender.
Liverpool and England defender Mark Wright. He's over on the island next week and at the end of the month to do Red Sports soccer camps.
So I sent you to have a quick chat with Mark. You've come back with half an hour of audio.
I have, you know, he can talk.
So this is going to be our first ever serialisation, isn't it?
Yeah, we don't want to break the hour mark for the podcast.
No. We already lose enough after 10 minutes. So, without further ado, this is a world exclusive, Dave?
I hope so.
Well, so do I. A world exclusive Max 40 pod speaking to Mark Wright of Once of England, Liverpool and Chester City.
And Chester City manager, can't forget that.
We'll be back with the boys after this.
I'll get the fanboy stuff out of the way first. As a huge Liverpool fan, you were one of my favourite players in the 90s, so it's an absolute pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you very much. This is what I did. I tried. I was a tryer, that's for sure.
Oh, you were more than that. You were an amazing player. You were so classy. And you undoubtedly helped... you filled Hansen's boots. And you obviously helped through quite a few young players as well while you were there.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, it's always nice to have people like, especially people who wanted to try and do something like Dominic Matteo. He was a good lad, and he could have gone one or two ways, led astray by some people, but he certainly knuckled down and did the right things.
He did, yeah. He was a good player as well. And thank you again.
Pleasure.
So I know you're a bit pushed for time, so we'll crack on. So thanks for taking the time to talk to us. Do you want to tell us a little bit about Red Sports and the soccer camps?
Well, what we are is we have a company called Red Sports, and we're doing a lot of things all around the world, but obviously we're coming to the Isle of Men, and it's the first soccer camp that we've done over there for 7 to 17-year-olds in the half-term week of the 24th to the 28th of October. And we'll be doing specialist classes delivered by myself and other Red Sports members and a couple of legends thrown in on there as well. And what we do when we say specialist, I will be taking the defenders. There's a number of defenders. I'll be taking them to improve them on their defending, to show them what it takes and the requirements to become a dedicated footballer and how to become a dedicated defender, because there's differences in opinions, you know. Some people say, you know, that defenders all play these days. No, the first and foremost, they have to be able to head the ball, they have to be able to stop crosses if you're a fullback, they have to be able to, you know, compete with players, and that is what a defender's all about, otherwise, you know, choose another position. So I'm very, very dominant in my approach to make sure that if you're a defender, the requirements that are needed. And also, while we're there, you know, with these youngsters, what we're doing is we're casting our eye over the youngsters to see if there's any youngsters that we feel we could give a chance to over here in the UK by getting them trials somewhere or opening the door, keeping them on our database so that we can follow up and we can and keep an eye on them. So really, it's not just a soccer camp and a specialised one. What we do is we are actually going to be looking as well for youngsters to give an opportunity too, because what we are as well as a company called Red Sports, we are, my wife and I, we are foster carers, and we have an adopted daughter who we love dearly. When I say adopted, I shouldn't say that, she is our daughter, but it's I had to explain that she was a foster child in the first place, and we adopted her, and like I said, we love her more than anything. And at present, we have three other children in, foster children in, to look after, which is fantastic. And why I say that is because it's very important that, you know, when we do these soccer camps, we try to do everything we can, not only to get the children to engage in a sport and activity, but to open it and raise awareness and open their eyes as well, not to play on phones and iPads and all the, you know, all the games, the PlayStations that they have. You know, being out in the fresh air, all you need is a ball on a wall. To get out there and have some physical exercise and to learn the skills of how to play football. But what we do with all of this is to try and incorporate and partner up with the fostering agencies on the Isle of Man or wherever we go, and to raise awareness for adoption, because that's that's a big love of theirs, and it's something that we want to drive and push forward. And so we always connect with the, like I said, with the social services that are linked to, sort of drive it forward to try and help everybody and raise the awareness so that every household in the Isle of Man is aware.
Yeah, I believe
these children and that they should be looked after.
I believe you've already spoken to the Children's Centre and, as you say, the Department of Health,
yeah.
And they must be absolutely delighted to have someone of your stature on board with this.
Well, yeah, listen. I mean, I'm not really looking for any pats on the back in this regard. All I want to do is it's a genuine effort by myself and my wife to try and help the children, because let's face it, the children are, through no fault of their own, they're in a terrible situation. And, you know, for whatever reason, they're in a fostering or adoption environment. They don't deserve it. Every child deserves a childhood. And through our events, which is most important, is our event, and then to get the children, some of the children, the foster children, to come along to actually take part in it. And you know, that's where our drive comes from. That's where our passion comes from, is obviously the fostering adoption, but certainly to raise the awareness and give the children of the Isle of Man, because, you know, how many scouts come over to the Isle of Man to look at the players? I don't know the answer to that. What we've got is an expert eye of being ex-players to actually look at the players that come to the camp to see whether there is any that deserve a chance to step out into the world of football over here in the UK.
Absolutely. I mean, you mentioned that. Are you hoping to forge direct links between the island and certain clubs, or is it more of a general thing on a player-by-player basis that you will recommend certain players to certain clubs?
Well, listen, yeah, absolutely. What we will do is we won't place any if there's some children over there that are good enough, we won't be placing them out of their depth. We will make sure that we assess it properly, have a look at it, see if there's any that we can highlight to see if we can get a trial for, and we have links to you know, so many clubs. It's only picking the phone up, and we can get to clubs, whether it be in the conference, where there's a good standard of football and there's a good living now in the conference, straight through to the second, to the first, the Championship, and the Premier League. So with our contacts, it's wide and varied, and it's only a phone call. So what we want to do is make sure we come over, assess the players properly. Give some of the elite players a little bit more to do.
I just wanted to ask, did you fancy managing a football team in the Isle of Man, or are you angling for the England job?
Hey, who wants to take the England job? All they do is, as soon as you take it, people say that they're the Scottish version of Liverpool. And if anything comes out, you know, if you've got any skeletons in them closets or do anything like that, then obviously then it comes out, and you've got to be prepared for that. It's a shame, obviously, what's happened. Because obviously a lot of people thought he was going to be there for a while and do the right thing. Obviously it wasn't to be. Now we've got to start all over again, and whoever takes it will be a very, very lucky man, because to take the England manager's job is a massive thing.
Yeah, it needs to remove that shackle of being named as a poison chalice, really, doesn't it? Because it has become something of one over the past few years.
I mean, listen. Like I said, it needs the FA to do go through their process
terrible. That was Martin Glenn, wasn't it?
After Roy Hodgson was dismissed, there's one man said, don't ask me them questions because I'm not really a football man. Well, if you're not a football man, don't get involved in England jobs.
Absolutely.
Because I'm not, none of us are ex-players, football lovers, no one's interested in that. You have got a job, you're paid for a job, select the right man. And what it needs, I think, is some ex-players to be on there. Like maybe Brian Robson, I don't know, whoever it may be, and have a committee of them saying, listen, yeah, we'd like to play under him. He would inspire us. He's very thorough. They need ex-players. They don't need business-minded people on there, because the ex-players will have heard all the stories and they could define and say, listen, in the interview process, listen, how have you done anything wrong? Because if you have, they will try and find it out and it will come out. The process has to be more in depth, not just on a whim, and players, ex-players like, I keep going back to Brian Robson because he was a fantastic leader, fantastic captain, not only for Man United but for England, and one of the best players that I've been fortunate to play with. People like him would have heard the stories behind the scenes, what they got. Then questions need to be asked in that interview process. Listen, there is a story that came out about X, Y, or Z. Can you verify? If that's the case, listen, at the end of the day, you're signing the contract here, but if that comes out, obviously you're going to be dismissed. It's going to be a mockery for everybody. What we need to do is select the right man that not only the FA think is the right man, but ex-players would think, yes, you would inspire me. I'd love to play for you because the football, the way you're talking about football, is what really counts. Because don't forget, you don't have the England team for that long. And what you need to do is you have to have an impact with them. And they all have to look up to you. And they all, like Bobby Robson once was, he was like a dad to us all. And he was someone that we all respected and we all loved. And with him and Don Hill, we looked at them and we went, we want to play for you. And in the 1990 World Cup, we got to where we were and should have won that semi-final to get to a World Cup final again. And a lot of that was down to them too. The way that they handled us, the way they treated us, the way they made us train, the way they made us work, how we approached the game. That sort of person is needed again. But the interview process is so key. And like I said before, all of us, we all hear stories, okay? A lot of them very untrue, but some of them true. So the stories that float around everywhere, everyone hears of. Now, that interview process can be very discreet, very, you know, internal. Here we are, this is what we're doing. Right, can you answer that question? Because obviously we need to know your answer on this one before we can select or even push this forward. There are things that need to be done so that you eliminate a lot of the silliness that goes on as soon as someone's appointed. I mean, 67, is it 67 days, you said?
Yeah, 67 days.
I mean, listen. Nonsense. The interview process may tell you that that was wrong.
Yeah.
And you need for everything to step forward. Sam Allardyce, I got a lot of time for him. I think he's a great manager. I'd like to have played for him because he's a man's man and he gets up, he does it. The fact of the matter that he did or said something silly has cost him his England job. But he's certainly a big forthright, big strong man, strong personality, the sort that I would like to, but you need to iron out. So, because, listen, it has become a point in time. So what do we all want over here? The English, we want an England team to do us proud, and you need a strong
passion
at the helm.
Yeah, a passionate manager, yeah.
You know, that's what you need.
Right, guys, let's have. I know you'll be off island in the bright lights of Leyland, but it'd be remiss of us not to discuss this weekend's on island football. We'll dive headlong into the Premier League. There's only four games on this week because there's obviously various reasons, including under 18s call ups. We should start with, I think, possibly the game of the day now between Old Boys and Laxey, your old club, Paul. Have you been impressed with the start they've made this season?
I'd like to tell you I knew. You know, I've seen them play this year, but unfortunately I haven't. So I believe they're doing pretty well.
Yeah, they won 10-0 at the weekend, which is a good result in anyone's book.
Laxey's very close to my heart. It's where I played as a kid and then was, you know, involved helping coach the team and involved with the team, and we did all right for a few years. I always keep an eye on how they're doing and how they're getting on, and it's encouraging to see that they're you know near the top of the league again.
And Old Boys, obviously, they had a few move away in the summer, Dave. But they seem to have been getting it together a little bit now.
Yeah, they had a shaky start to the season, didn't they? After the loss of the likes of Darren Hudson, but yeah, they seem to be finding their feet and going.
They're just on the ends of your ankles.
Paul Dryden, ladies and gentlemen, is here for as long as this podcast lasts. maybe a bit before the end if we
I'm available for weddings, christenings,
football management.
No, I'm not very good at that.
Old Boys, yeah, so this would be a tough game for Laxey, but if they harbour serious ambitions of Railway Cup, they need to get a result out of it, really.
Positive result here would go a long way to getting that top four place for Christmas.
Top four at Christmas. What a lovely sound. Right, Peel dropped more points last week. But we had the Mark and Adam in last week, and they both said they were a bit threadbare for the game down at Colby. So they were 2-0 down.
They were. Two first-half goals, but Pete Kelly, Mark, came back with his 100th and 101st goals for Peel last week. Managed to salvage a draw, but you have to say that's probably their title chances gone now.
But are they in danger of not qualifying for the Railway Cup? Boys, I know what you've seen in the league. They're fourth now, but they've played a game more than the teams below and only a point ahead. So they've still got it all to do, really. Having gone from probably people's dead certs for the Railway Cup, they could miss out.
No, I think they'll be all right. Ashley's just coming back into playing. So they'll have the firepower. I don't know what's happened with Josh Kelly. Apparently,
he's working. We had the exclusive off Adam last week. He's working on a project. We presume it's a building project. And we'll be back shortly. But yeah, as you say, Ash has been a big miss from the start of the season.
Lee Gale has been absent the last few weeks.
Yes, he's been on his holly bobs.
Self-entitled sabbatical.
Oh yes, he did send us a cryptic tweet. Is the correct word, Dave? Just saying hashtag sabbatical. So. Is it going to last longer than the 2 weeks he's been in Fuerteventura? Who knows? So they played Douglas Athletic, who were on the receiving end of the 10-0 spanking last week. I can imagine training's been pretty grim this week. Popeye's probably had them doing laps, numerous laps.
Saw some of Gary Waitman's excellent photos last week, and Popeye did not look like a happy chappy.
No, I wouldn't like to be in that dressing room after that match. But I'm sure they will be a bit more solid, shall we say, this week. But I would tip Peel to win that, wouldn't you?
You certainly would, yeah.
Elsewhere, now, drum roll please, the start of the week. We've got St George's versus St John's. What's your start of the week, Dave? Come on. We forgot it last week. Terribly.
Well, after Geordie's big 8-0 win last week against Hugh Lewis.
Was it just Lewis?
Fell that way.
Yeah. They are now up to 40 games unbeaten in the league, and also it's a 28 winning streak now.
28 games winning streak. That's pretty impressive. Ramsey won a 2-game winning streak up to that point, weren't they?
So probably
got a long way to go to match 28. So they're playing St John's this week. A bit of a Jekyll and Hyde side at times, but they seem to again have found their feet under Robbie Prescott in recent weeks.
Yeah, they had that excellent win against Rushen a few weeks back, which will no doubt give them a lot of confidence. So
a springboard, Dave, I would call
springboard.
That.
And they should give Geordies a good game, but you'd still have to fancy Geordies to.
Well, I think it's fair to say that St George's haven't actually been playing that well this season, and have won all 8 games quite comfortably.
Yeah.
So, yes, I believe Kieran McNulty is back playing last week. He scored just the 4 goals, I think, was something like that. I can't remember.
He was happy to see Lewis play anyway.
Yeah, he was running around me.
Did he look fit?
Didn't need to be.
He didn't have to be honest.
Lewis was too busy looking in the mirror.
that could be an ominous sign for St John's. Right, the final game of the top flight this week in the reduced top flight programme is Air versus Rushen. The mighty Air, come on.
I believe Rushen are having to set off today to get there for kickoff.
This is the longest game in Max football, isn't it?
Must be, yeah.
There used to be a stop off at St John's, I think. They'd have
overnight.
Well, you know, Paul's very meticulous with his preparations.
Absolutely.
He wouldn't want the boys getting up there without being acclimatised to the area, the local climate and such like. So I'm sure he's had them in the... Maybe in the Raven overnight tonight. I don't know.
It's the place to be.
The Raven's a Blaff, isn't it? Is it Grosvenor? Grosvenor. Well, my knowledge of northern pubs is very...
You need to get out
rubbish.
Of Douglas every now and then.
I know. That's what... That's the criticism often levelled at our reporting team. Right, so Air Rushen, you have to favour Rushen. They've still got more than a sniff of a qualification for the Railway Cup, you'd say.
Yeah, they're in good form. They've had a couple of improved performances the last couple of weeks, but they're going to struggle in that game, I think.
And right on to Division 2. What the top game? You're going to the top game in Division 2 this week, aren't you?
Braddon v Douglas Royal. Yeah, this should be a cracker. Braddon leading the way, but Dougie Royal are in good form themselves. I think they're third at the moment. So yeah, this should be a good game.
See much of Division 2, gents?
Hear quite a lot from Aaron Quinn every time he comes into the NFC gym. He's calling himself Gaffer, and he's signing off texts to the players as Gaffer and everything. Apparently, but. No, he tells me Douglas Royal are doing really, really well, so I'm going to favour them.
When he says Gaffer, it almost sounds like... isn't the fella from PG Tips called Gaffer? You know, the advert. It's a sort of caretaker, you know, school caretaker role, isn't it? Right, Gaffer?
But for the England job next.
But he's doing well. We mock, but they are up near the top, aren't they? Is they third at the moment?
I think they're third, yeah. And good goal scoring form. They've got Whitley and Dolman firing, so who knows?
Where else have we got? We got Youthy and Foxdale. Youthy were, I have to say, pretty terrible when I watched them against Onken last week.
Surprise result, huh?
Well, Onken worked hard. Obviously, most games were affected by the, I think this is the meteorological term, easy for me to say, Hooley. Last week, a lot of games were affected by that. But Onken battled hard. David Reese's men got a good result out of that, beating Youthy 3-1 last week.
Fortress Niverson,
that was actually their first home win of the season, so maybe not as much as it used to be. Foxdale came back from 2-0 down against Jims.
Yeah, great result for them. It keeps them there or thereabouts at the top. They're certainly going to challenge for the title and promotion, but they can't really afford any more slip-ups at the moment because other teams are picking up wins.
Have you got any insight on the promotion race, guys? Take that silence as a no.
Working hard on the under-18s.
Castletown, I reckon. Outside chance of that this year. Gary Sansbury's got a good little thing going on.
They were going up, your skipper plays for Castletown, didn't you know it? Going on great guns till they had a bit of a nightmare against Braddon, where they capitulated and lost
10-1.
11-0. That was crazy.
Close to.
A lot of close games. 11-0. But yes, they could be. They'll be in the mix, as we say on the sports desk. They've got Dawson District this week, which in coupon terms you'd say would be a home win.
You would. D&D, they thrashed Governors 8-1 last week, so they'll be in a good confident mood. But yeah, Castletown should just about have enough of that.
Big game at the bottom. Governors Athletic versus Maloo. Maloo rooted to the foot of the table with 0 points. We'll be sparring 3 points in this one, really. It'll be a bit of a needly game. There's a lot of players have moved between the two clubs, haven't they?
I think so. Governors, after that heavy defeat last week, will be looking to bounce back. And they've had their first ever win a few weeks back, and they could double that tally this week. But Maloo, if they can get their act together, they should be okay.
Well, they seem to have improved performances in recent weeks and are now scoring goals, which is, I believe, a fundamental of football. You coaching gurus will be able to pick up
that. That's what it's about, putting the ball in the back of the net.
Not your own net.
Two games to go. Paul Rose, Onken. That should be an interesting game. Paul Rose seem to have found their form again in recent weeks. Onken are now... will be buoyed by that win over Youthy last week. So.
Yeah, I think before last week I'd have said that Paulie would win that one. But you never know now. Onken should... make a good game of it.
You never know. Football is an unpredictable beast at the best of times. Right, the final game. Big round of applause to Michael. They scored their first goal of the season last week, wasn't it?
They went 7 games without scoring. They didn't equal their own envious record of a couple of years ago, 8 games without a goal.
Michael Corlett, well, his name will now go down in the history of the Manx Footy Pod. He scored their goal. I think they still got beaten 6-1, was it, I think, or something like that?
I think so, yeah.
But they've got Moran this week. Moran, obviously... readjusting to life in the second tier after a season in the Premier League, and you'd have to favour them to get the points in this one. Right, well, that's it for our roundup of the look ahead to Division 2. Just a couple of bit of admin, but we should say well done to Kieran Tierney, who had a stormer last night against Man City in the Champions League. It was his 50th appearance for Celtic.
Can you believe that?
That's a stat of the week in itself, I'd say.
It is. But, good game by all accounts. He forced Sterling into scoring an own goal and also set up one of Dembele's goals. So, not a bad stage.
Have you met young Kieran, chaps?
No, I haven't, no.
He's certainly doing the business, isn't he?
By all accounts, he is, yeah. I didn't get to see the game last night. I was at a coaching event, but didn't you say you watched it?
Yeah, I watched the highlights. It looked a great game.
He looks very much an archetypal modern fullback, doesn't he? Up and down that flank, like Gooden.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't really seen him play, and so it would be unfair for me to kind of comment. But great for the lad, and playing at that level at that age against in that stadium must be brilliant. So well done to him.
Well, thanks guys for spending your lunch hour with us.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Good luck at the weekend.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Maybe
thank
you could suggest the lads listen to this as motivational before they on the coach.
Yeah.
Or not.
Well, I'm not sure about that, actually. I'm not sure what where they'd be better giving that a miss. But perhaps we can embargo it until 5 o'clock on Saturday.
Well, you know, all three people that listen to us on a regular basis, I'll be getting tweets, maybe a postcard. You know, but where is the?
What is the record? What's the number?
The number of.
What's the appropriate terminology?
Listens,
views, hits.
You're very much like me. I have to ask Dave. He's my guide to the future.
Right.
He's.
What are we aiming to
well,
to
I achieve? Have to say, we usually do about 200 to 300, which is quite remarkable. But Alex Harrison got 600, but I think it's because he name dropped America quite a lot, and people just listen in America when they.
So Lewis, when he, over the next couple of days, just needs to keep pressing play.
Yeah.
Closing it down, opening it again, pressing
600
play.
600
times. Pretty much. Yeah. And that segues beautifully into you can do that at by logging on to audioboom.com/channel/MaxFootball, and for those of you who have an iTunes account, you can log on, just search Max Football in the podcast section. Click on us. Click on my face, actually.
Yeah.
It's in monochrome, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah,
it's glorious.
It's glorious. It takes years off. And you can.
Photoshopped, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was very photoshopped. And you can. I actually wasn't even at the match. I'm in the background now. Just me at home in a jacket. But you can click on that, subscribe, and it'll just pop into your account every week.
It's terrifying, isn't
it? It is terrifying. Well, that's it for this week's. I really enjoyed this week, Dave. Sometimes I enjoy them more than others, but this week I've really enjoyed.
Would you say it's been your favourite so far?
No, none of them are my favourite. Everyone's my favourite.
Right.
If you'd given an answer for the Chinese takeaway, probably then it would have been the best.
Drop the ball.
You drop points there. Right, don't forget, you can tweet us at ManxFootyBlog, not pod. We had a few misdirected tweets. Anytime, day or night, and we will do our best to answer within 28 days. Right. See you next week. Ta-ta.